Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Welcome, Dream Big listeners. I sure hope everyone's having a good week. I know I am. I'm having an interesting week. I've actually had an interesting month. And so this show today is going to kind of go against everything I'm always talking about, which I thought was odd that I selected to do this. And even on the way over to the studio, I'm like, you really want to do this? But so I'm going to tell you a little secret. The last couple months have been just really interesting. I was super busy and super successfully doing shows and clients and all this other stuff. And then I just found myself tired, I think. I think that's really what was going on, but I'm not sure. So I took out all my self-help books and lined them up and wrote in my journal every day, you know, tried to find signs from the guidance angels and God and everybody else. And yet I was still stuck with this feeling of why? Why am I here? What am I doing? Where am I supposed to go next? Why do I feel so tired and kind of disenchanted? And I don't know if you guys have ever been in that situation. I'm assuming you have. I can't imagine that I'm alone in this. But sometimes you sit back and you're like, what am I doing? You know, and you can be so driven. At least I am. I'm a hugely driven human being. I have to-do lists for to-do lists for to-do lists. And I realized that I woke up yesterday and even in the middle of the night last night that I am addicted to self-help books. I'm going to say that. Should we have like some sort of meeting like AA? Who's addicted to self-help books? I am. I have this trick that I do on myself. If I'm feeling bad or down, that I go to one of my self-help books and I just open a page anywhere and I read it. And it does help, but lately it hasn't been. I haven't had that, oh yes, there's my sign. Now I'm going to go take on the world. I've had it like, yep, there it is. I think I got to sit down. I'm exhausted. And I'm like, why am I feeling this way? And I really haven't come to a conclusion yet. I wish I could say that. But so what I decided to do, of course, is Google self-help to death books. And I came across this incredible New Yorker article. And while I was kind of like, oh no, it's going against everything I believe, is there anything so wrong with kind of challenging yourself when you get so far in deep and addicted to something such as a self-help book? I mean, I know what I've done with my clients and I've seen them. I mean, I have seen miracle upon miracle of saying, here, read this book and read this and learn this and, you know, have your affirmations and do this. But will there come a time for them where they're like, well, wait, I'm doing it and it's not working. So what happens when it's not working? What does that mean when it's not working? Well, personally, for me, I think that part of it is something is challenging me again where, you know, I don't want to say it's boredom, but I think it's growth. You know, if something's not working for me, that means that I'm supposed to take that lovely little step of growth and figure out what's my next goal. Or this is another thing that's been entering my mind a lot. Maybe I'm supposed to sit still. Maybe I'm just supposed to enjoy life. Am I self-helping myself to death and ignoring my life? One of the things I think I do for self-help is to try to make myself feel better. Well, why not just sit in it? Why not sit in grief? Why not sit in anxiety? Why not sit in fear of the unknown? I mean, is it so bad to have these feelings? And if you're shoving them down with words from self-help gurus, then you're not always recognizing what's really going on in your life. You're putting band-aids on it, per se. Now, I'm not saying don't read self-help books, because trust me, I'm going to read one tomorrow morning. You can guarantee it during my journal time and all that. I will. But what I want to do for myself is to recognize, is this anxiety that's waking me up in the middle of the night, is it really something more important? Actually have like shed a light on it. What is it really? Is it something like my intuition? Is it a gut feeling that I'm supposed to be doing something else? Is it a form of excitement that might be like, hey, sister, you don't know what's around the corner and you're freaking out, but this could be something really amazing. And when I look back on my life, half the time, the things that have happened to me have not been anything that I had planned on. They'd always been things that just happened. They happened to me while I was reading my self-help book. And, you know, part of it for me is I always say we have choices when we wake up in the morning. You know, you can be negative or you can be light. You can be happy or you can be sad. Is it that simple? I don't know for sure. But I do know that I prefer happiness over sadness. But hey, every once in a while, to sit and wallow with a big bowl of chocolate in front of you, I don't think anything's so wrong with that. But I do like to also recognize the fact that when you have emotions as such, it's all part of you. And I think that we have a tendency with the self-help is we definitely work on ourselves, but are we recognizing every feeling, or are we pushing some away without realizing, okay, why am I having this feeling? What is this? So this New Yorker article was written by, let me catch his name real quick. It was Alexandra, it's a she, Alexandra Schwartz. And oh my gosh, you guys, how weird is this? And I know you're going to think, here I go again, but it was written on my birthday. I just noticed that. Okay, that's crazy. What the self-help gurus and their critics reveal about our times. So there's quite a bit of information on this, but it talks about like New Year's and how we make, you know, these resolutions, or we choose not to make the resolutions. And then we do these certain things to get us going. And then by February, we've let ourselves down. So what I'm going to read to you, I'm going to read a bit of it to you. So hopefully you're sticking with me on this, because I really enjoyed it. And I think it's important that we share it. So it says, self-help advice tends to reflect the beliefs and priorities of the era that spawns it. A decade ago, the reigning champion of the genre was The Secret. Now, I got to tell you a secret. I haven't read The Secret. Have you read The Secret? No. Okay. I just asked Remy and he's shaking his head no. Now, this was published in 2006 by an Australian, Rhonda Byrne. So, you know, she combined a literal interpretation of select verses from the Christian Bible, notably Matthew 21:22. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, ye shall receive. And when you think about that, that's what I say to everybody all the time, especially even on these shows where, you know, think about it, set your intention, you know, write your affirmation, live it as if it's already happened, those kind of things. So obviously I'm not the first one to believe it. And the big hit was The Secret back then. So with the acquisitive gospel of positive thinking, if you sent a wish out into the universe with enough faith, she told her readers, it could come to pass. Want to find a husband? Clean out a closet for the man of your dreams and imagine him hanging up his ties. Want to get rid of your glasses? Picture yourself acing your next vision exam and kiss those progressive lenses goodbye. In retrospect, The Secret, which sold more than 20 million copies worldwide, seems a testament to the predatory optimism that characterized the years leading up to the financial crisis. Now, this is where I get like, ooh, I want to put the brakes on, because I'm forever an optimist. I like being optimistic. I mean, you know, my husband and I'm kind of glad he doesn't listen to my shows because I refer to him so much. At least I don't think he does. He hasn't really told me. But, you know, he has this thing where I say, how you doing today? He's like, oh, you know. And I'm like, so lately I've been saying, no, I don't know. How are you doing today? Well, you know, you know. And to me, when he asks me, how am I doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. Or if I'm not good, I say why I'm not. But to me, it's like the darkness of negativity will just, I think, create more negativity. So I worry about part of this because it talks about this, you know, predatory optimism that characterized the years leading up to financial crisis. People dreamed big in a day of easy money, found that their dreams could come true. Then the global economy crashed and we were shaken violently awake, at least for a time. Does everybody remember where they were when all that financial stuff went down? I do. And I know a lot of people did too, including my husband. So in our current era of nonstop technological innovation, fuzzy, wishful thinking has yielded to the hard doctrine of personal optimization. Well, you can tell I didn't write this. Self-help gurus need not be charlatans peddling snake oil. Many are psychologists with impressive academic pedigrees and a commitment to scientific methodologies, or tech entrepreneurs with inviolable records of success in life and in business. So who's that guy? I can't think of his name, but everybody refers to him. And he's got money, money, money. He's just, Remy, do you know who I'm talking about? The guy who's got, like, he's that older guy, and he's got a ton of money. And I mean,
there's a lot of them.
But I know. I just can't think of the one. It starts with a W. I'll think of it.
Warren Buffett?
Yes. Thank you very much. Ding. Don't you just love Remy? He just jumps right in and he's like my little encyclopedia right in front of me. I just love that. So what they're selling is metrics. It's no longer enough to imagine our way to a better state of body or mind. We must now chart our progress, count our steps, log our sleep rhythms, tweak our diets, record our negative thoughts, then analyze the data, recalibrate, and repeat. That sounds a bit exhausting. So as I'm reading all this, I'm feeling myself hyperventilate just a wee bit. But I'm thinking, my God, they're so true. And I think the one question that keeps popping up in my head is, are we really living? When did we just stop living? Like living our lives. So even today, when I had just gotten back from a trip to New York, and this is my first day back, and I'm like, you know, doing my normal, okay, let's get the to-do list, let's do this. And all of a sudden, something stopped me. And I'm like, no, you're not going to do that today. You're actually going to live. You're not going to live for your to-do list. You're not going to get your little book and get your pen and your favorite pen and write everything down. You're going to lay on the floor in your dream big office and you're just going to be quiet. Have you ever tried that just for an hour? And I'm not talking take a nap. I'm talking about just literally being quiet. It is so hard for me to do that. My mind, I have voices upon voices who actually talk to each other. So I have to sit there and try and be quiet. And part of me was like, why are you doing this? But I realized that I hadn't been quiet. Now, granted, I was in New York City. Do you know how many people are in New York City? And it was mind-boggling, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And somebody said, I'm going to take a little left turn here. But to see so many people, and they were all so busy, you kind of wondered where everybody was going, what everybody was doing. And I'm such a people watcher. It's not safe to be a people watcher in New York City if you're trying to walk because I want to stop and stare at everyone. So I really just wanted to grab a cup of coffee and watch all the amazing people from all different cultures. But everyone was so busy and the noise was incredible. You know, there's just honking and people talking different languages. And so there was beauty to it, but there was insanity to it because we're so busy, you guys. We are so busy. One of the things in this article talked about how we have to live up to this certain standard of what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to be. And one of the plays I saw when I was there was To Kill a Mockingbird. And I thought about the simplicity, their backdrop of this beautiful play with my wonderful friend, Jeff Daniels, was the front porch. Sitting on the front porch. And, you know, as much as, yes, we have all the amenities, you know, at the tip of our fingertips, we can Google anything. We can find a restaurant. I mean, in New York, here we were, you know, finding restaurants. Did it have 5 stars? What were the reviews? It's kind of, with all the technology, it's taken out the mystery of life a bit. And that kind of makes me sad in my forever optimistic way. So today when I decided just to lay on the floor in my office and just meditate, I decided, you know, I wasn't going to do self-help today. I was just going to be. And the main message that came to me was water your flowers. That was it. Water your flowers. Be as simple as that. Be with nature. It just kept coming back to that. Be with nature. And so when you're doing things to improve yourself, which I think is so important, I mean, we are on this planet. And I don't know about you. I do like to grow. But where do we begin? And when does it become an addiction? And when do we rely on, you know, just whatever other book we can order? And whatever other chapter that's going to point us in the new direction of how we get to our journey and how we stay on our journey and how we're successful and how much money are we going to make and how do we get that money? Am I thinking right? Am I detracting? Am I accepting? Is my energy wrong? I mean, you can literally drive yourself bonkers. How about you take the time and everybody just clear space in your house and lay on the floor like I did and look up at the ceiling or keep your eyes closed like I did. I did surround myself with little crystals too, by the way. And just think about it. Who am I? I mean, when I'm so busy with the self-help thing, I forget. Who am I? I don't really know today. I don't know who I am today. I know that I'm an entrepreneur. I know that I'm talking on a radio show right now. I know I have clients. I know I sing. I know I'm on the road. And I know I love people. But does that really tell me who I am? No, that tells me what I do. And so when do you pull the wool from your eyes and actually look in that kind of soulful mirror of yourself and figure out who you are and why you're living? And it doesn't have to be this brilliant answer, you know? I think that we strive for so many ideas of what it's supposed to be that we forget how simple it could be. I mean, there's a quote that it says that life is really easy, but man, do we know how to complicate it. And I love that because I consistently complicate my life with thoughts. With what should I be, where should I be, who should I be? And then, of course, the old nothing against Facebook, Mr. Zuckerberg, but let's think about that. How many times do you reach for your phone before you even know what time it is when you wake up in the morning and you haven't even had your coffee yet, but you see your friend is in Hawaii in this beautiful hotel, you know, soaking their feet on a beach or something, and you start questioning, well, I didn't get to go to Hawaii. Well, I don't make enough money to go to Hawaii. And then all of a sudden the self-deprecation starts. So what do we do? How do I fix this? I'm a fixer. Oh my gosh. Well, I don't fix it. How about I just be? And I think that's so important is that we have to learn how to be. And do we really understand that we don't have to get 5 stars every day? And one of the things that this article talked about, here's this thing, but let me start from the beginning. Many of the tasks that authors assign themselves, there was these two authors that wanted to kind of self-help themselves and see how it goes. They have a double dare quality whose cost-benefit value seems questionable, like memorizing the first 1,000 digits of pi during brain month in order to improve mental acuity. Oh my God, that sounds so boring. Sorry. But others inspire the same niggling whisper of self-doubt as Instagram posts of green juice. Should I be doing that too? I confess to feeling a pang of jealousy when Cederstrom, which is this author, produces a complete book manuscript in a euphoric amphetamine rush induced by study drugs during productivity month and a surge of da-da-da-da-da. So it goes on and on. In a consumerist society, we are not meant to buy one pair of jeans and then be satisfied, they write. And the same, they think, is true of self-improvement. We are being sold on the need to upgrade all parts of ourselves all at once, including the parts that we did not previously know needed upgrading. When you think about life in general, where we are now, I'm coming up to my lease, right? My car is going to be done in a month. So a big question for my husband, what do you want? What do you need? You know, this one offers this. This one does this. This one does this. Oh, your cell phone's not charging enough. It's time to be upgraded. You know, we upgrade constantly. So think about what I just said. Think about what they just wrote. I think it's incredible. So we are being sold on the need to upgrade all parts of ourselves all at once, including parts that we did not previously know needed upgrading. This may explain yoni eggs. Oh, I'm not going to even read that. That is a weird thing that Gwyneth Paltrow was saying. It says, may explain yoni eggs, stone vaginal inserts that purport to strengthen women's pelvic floor muscles and take away negative energy. Nothing against Gwyneth. That's fine with whatever she believes. And like I said, so it's, you know, we're at this point where we are under so much pressure to lead this perfect life. What if you already have it? What if you already have a perfect life? Isn't that kind of a great thought? Look around. I mean, you know, yes, I always say be grateful, and people say if you have more gratitude, you receive more things. But what about not even playing that game? Don't even play that game with yourself. You know, if I have anxiety and I start listing why I'm grateful to try and take the anxiety away, just deal with the anxiety. It's part of life. We live in this fast-paced world. Maybe the anxiety is something that's telling you, hey, sister, sit on the porch. Go sit on the porch. Look around. Water your flowers. Make sure they're not dead, by the way. And just enjoy life. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the perfect life. Not perfecting it and upgrading it or deciding what more you need to think that it's going to improve and just sit in life and be. So I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm kind of excited about this little epiphany. Now, will I pick up a self-help book tomorrow? Maybe, maybe not. But what I do know is that I am going to try to just be a little bit more, you know, just chill out for God's sake and just take it as it comes in a way. Because so many times, just as we say that old saying, you know, life happens when you're planning it, you know, or if you want to make God laugh, tell them your plans. Because think about how many plans you've made that didn't work out, but the things that happened around it were exactly what you need. So when you wake up tomorrow, Mr. and Mrs. Dream Big or Miss Dream Big, whatever you are, don't be hard on yourself. Accept yourself for you. Grab your self-help book if you want. I'm going to look at my addiction and I may start an addiction, self-help addiction. But just learn to breathe, lay down on the floor, look at the sky, sit on the porch. It sounds so silly and so easy, but you know what? We need more of that and less of the 5 stars that we give our Ubers, those poor Uber drivers. You know, if they get 4, they have to ask you why. Let's not do that. We're all 5-star people. everybody, you have a wonderful life. Have a wonderful day. Look forward to talking to you next week. Take care.